We are remembering you with every breath. Give us your darshan. This is the Bhajan Teri Haradam Yadamana Rahe on page 44. We are being baked in the separation. Spread the coolness. In the world, the fires are burning. In the fire, the jivas are burning. O giver, have pity and come back. In the Kali Yuga, to meditate on Nam is difficult. To go in the refuge of the Master is easy. The boat is adrift. Come and take it to the shore. Having become separated from you, we are suffering. O giver, day and night we are weeping. We have your hope. Come and fulfill our hopes. Guru Kripal is the beloved one. Ajayab has only this support. We are thirsty for the darshan. Satisfy our thirst. We are remembering you with every breath. Give us your darshan. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 44.
हरदम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू तेरी हरदम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू असी पुज रहे वीच वियोग दे ठंड वरता जा तू तेरी हर दम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू असी पुज रहे वीच वियोग दे ठंड वरता जा तू दुनिया विच पांबड़ पख रहे अग्नि विच जीव है मच रहे दुनिया विच पांबड़ पख रहे अग्नि विच जीव है मच रहे दाता तरस करो जी आन के फेरा पा जा तू दाता तरस करो जी आन के फेरा पा जा तू तेरी हर दम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू नाम जपना कल विच औखा है शरणी पै जाना सौखा है नाम जपना कल विच औखा है शरणी पै जाना सौखा है बेड़ी अड़ गई विच मजदार दे बनने ला जा तू बेड़ी अड़ गई विच मजदार दे बनने ला जा तू तेरी हर दम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू तेथों बिछड़ के औखे हो रहे दिन राती दाता रो रहे तेथों बिछड़ के औखे हो रहे दिन राती दाता रो रहे असी रखियां आसा तेरिया साड़ी आस बुझा जा तू असी रखियां आसा तेरिया साड़ी आस बुझा जा तू किरपाल गुरु जी प्यारा है अजैब नू एहो सहारा है किरपाल गुरु जी प्यारा है अजैब नू एहो सहारा है दर्शन दी प्यासा लग रही प्यास बुझा जा तू दर्शन दी प्यासा लग रही प्यास बुझा जा तू तेरी हर दम याद मना रहे दर्श दिखा जा तू असी पुज रहे बीच वियोग दे ठंड वरता जा तू
We are remembering you with every breath. Give us your darshan. We are being baked in the separation. Spread the coolness. I want to begin today reading a talk that I gave on my return from Bombay, being with Sanchi in Bombay, in January 1994. It was called Embracing the True Reality. And I came across this talk when I was working on materials for the years with Ajaib. On the way home, we had a one-night layover in Paris. The French satsangis met us at the airport, and we stayed with them that night. One of them asked me if there was a theme to this program. And I responded, oh yes, yes, there was a theme. Then I tried to think, well, what was it? Although I had a sense of the theme at that particular time, it was not a verbal sense. But thinking about it afterwards, I see that the underlying message running through each of the master's talks was to show us how radically different the path is from everything else we experience in life. He kept emphasizing the extreme and utmost importance to our souls of going within and going up. Our tendency is, however, to take the path and the master and find a way to relate it to everything else we know. But everything else we know is from the fallen universe in Kal's world. And what the master gives us is from the unfallen ocean of love from which we originally came and to which we want to go back. And so the master dealt with this topic quite remarkably, consistently, eloquently and powerfully throughout the program. Basically, he gave one satsang. I'm summing it up much too briefly, but in a kernel he said, go within, be with the master inside. Then you will understand what is going on in all aspects of life, including when the master leaves the body. You will see things from the perspective of the master. There is no other way. On the first occasion when we were to sing bhajans, he came in and explained that there was more he wanted to convey in connection with the satsang of the previous day. He then gave a talk that continued on the theme of understanding the essence of what the path really is and the absolute necessity of going within. He repeatedly emphasized the importance of reaching the master's form inside and living life from that level. The following quote from Sanchi's talk, being separated from Kripal, I wept, very beautifully summarizes this message. Quote, "It is not enough to be initiated by him. If we are very far from his radiant form, which we were supposed to manifest within us, until we reach him inside, our devotion to him is not completed. Our soul is diffused much in this world. We have to withdraw it, not only from the body, but also from the outer world. With the help of Simran, collect it and bring it to its seat in the body, and then by itself it will go towards the Shabda and enjoy the elixir of Shabda. So we should also ask only him from him, instead of requesting the worldly things. Have we ever shed a single tear in his separation? Have we ever lost sleep even for one night in his separation? We never weep. Sometimes the soul feels the yearning for him, but the mind makes many excuses and takes it to other things that are easy for us to practice, which do not ask us to leave any pleasure." Unquote. So it is part of the disciple's job to cooperate with the grace of the Master, to make the effort, and to gradually detach ourselves from the outer attractions. But along the way, we make compromises, and it is these modifications and concessions that make us practice the path in a minimum way, in a half-hearted way, in a half-solid way. It is my observation that, at least for me, this way of living reduces our ability to understand and experience the higher aspects of the path. Slowly it becomes simply another part of our life, just like everything else is a part of our life. We have our job, our kids, our recreations, and oh yeah, we meditate. And yeah, we like it. And maybe we even keep the diary and go to satsang. But the thing is to look at it from the other way. By showing us his point of view, the Master is radically altering our way of seeing life and being in the world. Master Kripal used the phrase to revolutionize the thought pattern. It's the same idea. This is what each of the Masters have been able to do. By living in this way, by staying in touch with that which is truly real, this is how a Master becomes a Master. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is what the Master means. If we seek first the kingdom of God, then the other things follow. And what are the other things? They are the food, the clothes, the security, and all the other things that we hold as important. Obviously, we know that the Master does not advocate forgetting our duties, acting irresponsibly, or not caring about others. No, all of that we still have to do. But our relationship to others, including our families and friends, including casual acquaintances, including our enemies, these relationships have got to be transfigured or illuminated by the supreme and ultimate importance of understanding that our job in life is primarily to go within and to find God in a very literal way. This is what the Master's life means. This is why the Master comes, and this is what the Master talks about. Back in 1977, during his first tour in the West, Sanchi began a satsang by saying, "Satsang is given every day, but nothing new is talked about." His talks in Bombay reminded me of how absolutely accurate that statement is. Nothing new can be talked about because there is only one subject, and that subject is the answer to the whole problem. The problem is one of coping and surviving while venturing out into the material world. There is a greater power that is protecting us. The Master is responsible for our security. And when we see his hand working each step of the way, then the whole thing is turned around. And in that way, the problems are solved. It is so important to grasp this because the surrounding world continually reinforces the belief that we must make our entire existence, including the path, fit together in some logical, worldly-wise order. This is the constant exoteric eroding of the esoteric message, and it is this constant dilution and categorization that makes the path become more and more like the surrounding world. Strangely enough, this tendency seems to happen more with those who have been on the path a long time. The Master says that if we could remember what it was like on the very first day, the way we felt on the very first day, if we could stay in touch with that all of our lives, then the path would be very easy to practice. I know this is true. New initiates are often willing to spend hours and hours in meditation because they love doing it. Meditation is not to be performed as a burden. It is supposed to be enjoyable. During our stays, Sanchi said before our morning sittings that we should not make it a burden. But typically, what is it that our mind tells us? I gotta do it now. Well, what is this practice anyway? I gotta do it. It's my job. It's my duty. And then when we finally do it, we think how good we are. But it's not like that. It's an extremely enjoyable thing to do. And if it is not, then we have forgotten something very basic. And I think that it is when we are in the Master's presence that we can most quickly and easily remember the reality and the sweetness of his message. It comes back to us, and it becomes what it is supposed to be. That was the theme of the program. It's the theme of every program, every tour. It comes down to making our priorities the same as the Master's priorities. It is the radical transfiguration of the meaning of life, and it is brought about by the steady, deliberate shifting of our attention from the needs of the mind to the needs of the soul. This is what the Master teaches. It is what he demonstrates. This is what he is. Sanchi says, our doing daily meditations makes the Master's work easier. Those who do not meditate become a burden on the Master. We shouldn't remain spoiled children of our Father. We should meditate and make our body work. In this path, those who have wanted only the Master have succeeded. If we ask for other things, graciously he will give them to us. But what is the use? Everything of this world will remain here. Without Nam, no one is our friend. What is the use of asking for things that are not going to accompany us or help us? Ask for that which will help you in the hour of crisis. Ask for the Master. Ask for the gift of Nam. Also quoted from Being Separated from Kripal, I Wept. One of the problems with the way which we relate to the Master is that we go to him with a set of preconceptions in our mind about how life is, how it all works. We have already decided so many things. Many of those perceptions may be correct, but certainly not all. And because of our mistaken conceptions, we find it often very puzzling the way the Master reacts to certain questions. Many of us have had the experience of taking a question to him and being puzzled by his reaction or answer. It was as if he is looking at the situation and seeing something very different from what we see. And the answer that we perhaps expected him to give, he did not give. In certain instances, I remember both Master Kripal and Sanchi responding to my questions by talking about something else that seemed to be peripheral to the central point. But in thinking it over later on, I have come to understand that he was truly talking about the essential matter, and it was I who was concerned with the peripheral. And this is why Sanchi greeted me the way he did when I met him the very first time. I had been involved in fighting against others. I thought it was the good fight against forces that I assessed to be destroying Sant Mat, as I understood it. That is how I saw it. But he saw it very differently. and he was not at all interested in my way of thinking. The master has made so many statements about not criticizing others. When we put our attention on others' faults, we become like them. We take on those faults. But with the grace of the master, if we can rise to the level of seeing only the good in others, then that strengthens the good in us. This is a very profound teaching and one that each of us could look at more closely. So the master is the living example of seeking first the kingdom of God. He does that consistently. He does that always. He does that in every circumstance. He sees everything from a point of view colored with the reality of the kingdom of God. And we, generally speaking, see things from the point of view of our own personal needs, over which has been pasted an understanding that the kingdom of God is important. But that's not really the path. And so we must make a fresh start. There's nothing wrong with starting from that point just as long as we don't stay there. This awareness comes as a result of the grace of the Master, of our cooperating with the grace of the Master. There's a quote from Swamiji which says, "The most important and first thing you need in order to go within is to understand and accept the grace of the Master." Sanchi says we can get this understanding of how the Master showers grace on us, how he cuts our karma, and how he is showering his grace and helping us only after going within. Outwardly, by hearing the words of the Master, we may get a little bit of belief. We may get a little bit of faith in him. But Master always lays a lot of emphasis on going within, because only after going within can we understand and accept the reality, the truth. That is why the Masters say, "Go within and see everything with your own eyes." From the talk, the karmas are revealed within. So the point of spending time with the Master, the point of reading his books, the point of listening to his voice, the point of singing his bhajans, and above all, the point of sitting in the very sweet practice that he has given us and doing it in a loving, devoted way, the point of all that is so we won't remain trapped within the illusion of our own limited vision. By cooperating with the grace of the Master, by going within little by little, the Master's point of view will become our point of view. We will see the kingdom of God as the true reality. We will see all aspects of our lives and all aspects of the surrounding world as but very small parts of this much greater reality. I want to read a brief section from Rissel Jacques' book, Gurudev, the Lord of Compassion, which was actually the first book ever written by a Westerner about Kripal. It was Dr. Julian Johnson had written his books based on what he learned from Sawan Singh somewhat earlier. But Rissel was the first American disciple to go to India and spend time with Kripal. He went by ship in 1958 actually, and was there 6 months. He sent letters back while he was there, which were read in satsang. I heard them being read in satsang, and they became this book. And in this section, he's talking about Gorkha. In the beginning, in those days, he was Master's cook. I knew Gorkha. Well, I didn't know him. I can't say that. He was there on our first trip to India. He was still with Master then at Sawan Ashram, and I saw him many times. And all I can say, I never talked with him. I'm not sure he even spoke English. But all I can say about him is that when he smiled, it was like midnight disappeared and the sun came up. It was the most dazzling, most incredible smile I've ever seen on a human being apart from the Masters themselves. Anyway, Rissel says, Dr. Mulraj, who has accompanied the Master on many of his numerous tours, told me a most touching story about dear Gorkha, the prince from Nepal, who serves as butler to the Blessed One. Gorkha is probably not his name, by the way. A Gorkha is a kind of a generic term for Nepalis, and I suspect he was called that around the ashram, rather than learning his name, which might have been difficult for Indians to learn. It appears that Gorkha, at the tender age of 6, received visitations from Master Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. In the early morning hours, Hazur would appear with a stick before the boy's inner vision and order him to get up and bathe and then sit in meditation. Gorkha's mother remonstrated with him to stop his wee hour practice, but the lad told his mother that he had to bathe at that hour or the old man with the stick would beat him. So Gorkha continued his mystic practice all through his youth until he could sit in meditation regularly for 9 hours at a stretch. As a natural result, he ascended into the inner planes of creation. During the partitioning of Pakistan, Gorkha left the army and served as an independent Indian spy in the western Punjab under Hazur's insistent inner direction. Through his exceptional bravery, he saved many Indians in Pakistan whose lives were endangered by mob violence in those terrible times. 6 years ago in Bombay, Gorkha met our present living master saint and learned the true identity of the old man with the stick who had started him meditating at the tender age of 6. Gorkha received initiation into Surat Shabad Yoga by the present living master, whose beloved master had inwardly conditioned Gorkha in his childhood for high spiritual advancement. He has faithfully served the master now for 6 years. And I'm reading that story because, first of all, it's incredible. And I've always been enormously fascinated by it. But, you know, it often seems to us, and to activists it often seems to them, that we are doing nothing. That sitting in meditation when there's so much to be done out in the world, so many things to be made right, is a waste of time or foolishness or whatever. And I'm not obviously arguing that there aren't plenty of things to be set right. But the point is that if we go within, the further within we go, the more useful we will be on those kinds of things. Gorkha was, you know, was incredibly different from anybody else who was trying to save lives and doing things in the India-Pakistan war, because he was working under direct orders from the inner master whom he was in intimate connection with. And because of that, he was able to do incredible things. And so we should never think that, you know, the effort to increase consciousness, which is what we're doing when we meditate, the effort to understand and receive, you know, the perspective of the universe as it really is, not bound by our limited vision, but as the masters see it, as God sees it, as it really, really is, we should never think that the effort to accomplish that is useless on any level. On every level, it makes a huge difference as to what can be accomplished. And if everyone in the world were trying to do that, you can well imagine how these problems would fall down by the wayside. So I think it's an important story from that point of view. And I want to conclude by reading a letter from Baba Sawan Singh. Not a very long letter, but a very important one. This is letter number 72 from Spiritual Gems. People on other planes are not much interested in the physical plane. They have their hands full there in their own doings. The karmic law is supreme on the material and the mind planes, and nothing happens of its own accord, spontaneously, so to say. The law governs the planes. Therefore, no haphazard happening of events takes place anywhere, without whether the events are of microscopic or astronomical dimensions. In peace and in cataclysms or catastrophes, only they suffer who are destined to suffer. All that has been created is bound to change and decay. There is dissolution of earth, planets, sun and stars, but at very long intervals, too long for human conception. Who can say when this present planetary system was created? Prophets, yogis, and astronomers give their estimates, and the latter revise their estimates with every new discovery. But who can say how often this dissolution has been repeated? Only he who creates knows it. Suffice it to say that for human beings sitting outside the eye center, the time is infinitely long since the creation came into being and when it will disappear again. So there is nothing to worry about the next war or the atom bomb. This very kind of loose, vague talk was indulged in during and at the end of Great War I, and is also indulged in after floods, earthquakes, famines, and plagues. The worry should be about one's entry into the eye center and meeting the radiant form of the Master, so that the Master is our companion, on whom reliance can be placed here and hereafter. He who has been connected with the Word cannot go amiss in catastrophe or peace. He has a place to go to, goes there, and is not lost.
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਦੁੱਖ ਸੁੱਖ ਗਰੀਬੀ ਇਮਰੀ ਬਿਮਾਰੀ ਤੰਦਰੁਸਤੀ ਇਹ ਚੀਜ਼ਾਂ ਹਰ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੀ ਪ੍ਰਲਭ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਾਤਾ ਦੇ ਗਰਭ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਚਨਾ ਹੋਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਹੀ ਲਿਖੀਆਂ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਵਕਤ ਸਿਰ ਆ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਘਟਨਾ ਘਟਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਹੀ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਘਟਨਾ ਘਟਦੀ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਦੁੱਖ ਆਵੇ ਮੈਂ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ ਕੋਈ ਸੁੱਖ ਆਵੇ ਮੈਂ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਹੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਪੇਨਸ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਰਿਚਨੈਸ ਪਾਵਰਟੀ ਗੁੱਡ ਹੈਲਥ ਸਿਕਨੈਸ ਦਿਸ ਸਿਕਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਆਰ ਰਿਟਨ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਫੇਟ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਆਰ ਰਿਟਨ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਪ੍ਰਲਬਧ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਈਵਨ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਅਵਰ ਬਾਡੀ ਵਾਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਡ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਵੂਮ ਆਫ ਦਾ ਮਦਰ ਐਂਡ ਔਨ ਦੀ ਐਪਰੋਪ੍ਰੀਏਟ ਟਾਈਮ ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਇੰਸੀਡੈਂਟਸ ਹੈਪਨ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਅਵਰ ਓਨ ਪਾਸਟ ਕਰਮਾਸ So here he says that if I have the pains, still I will do your devotion. If I am in the happy condition, still I will do your devotion.
Dukh sukh dono samkar jana aur maan apamana.
The devotee of God understands both pains and happiness alike, and he accepts both praise and criticism alike.
Je sukh dehi tan tujhe radhi ਦੁੱਖ ਵੀ ਤੁਝੈ ਤਿਆਈ ਜੇ ਭੁੱਖ ਦੇ ਤਾਇ ਸਹੀ ਰਾਜਾ ਦੁੱਖ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੁਖ ਮਨਾਈ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਮੇਰੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਕੋਈ ਭੁੱਖ ਦਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਾਹਮਣਾ ਕਰਨਾ ਪਏ ਗਰੀਬੀ ਦਾ ਸਾਹਮਣਾ ਕਰਨਾ ਪਏ ਮੈਂ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਨੂੰ ਰਜਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਸਮਝੂੰਗਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੀ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਮਾਈ ਕਰਮਾ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਫੇਸ ਦਾ ਹੰਗਰ ਇਫ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਫੇਸ ਦਾ ਪਾਵਰਟੀ ਈਵਨ ਦੈਨ ਆਈ ਵਿਲ ਰਿਮੇਨ ਕੰਟੈਂਟ ਆਈ ਵਿਲ ਫੀਲ ਮਾਈਸੈਲਫ ਸੈਟਿਸਫਾਈਡ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਵਿਲ ਸਟਿਲ ਕੀਪ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਯੋਰ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ
ਜੇ ਭੁੱਖ ਦੇ ਤਾਂ ਇਤਹੀ ਰਾਜਾ ਦੁੱਖ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੁਖ ਤਨ ਮਨ ਕਾਟ ਕਾਟ ਸਭ ਅਰ ਪੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਅਗਨੀ ਆਪ ਜਲਾਈ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਪਣਾ ਤਨ ਕੱਟ ਕੇ ਖੁਦ ਅੱਗ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਾਉਣਾ ਪਵੇ ਉਸ ਪਿਆਰ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਮੈਂ ਤਿਆਰ ਹਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਕਰਨ ਨੂੰ ਤਿਆਰ ਹਾਂ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਵਨ ਇਫ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਕੱਟ ਮਾਈ ਬੋਡੀ ਮਾਈਸੈਲਫ ਐਂਡ ਪੁੱਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਫਾਇਰ ਫੋਰ ਦ ਲਵ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਰੈਡੀ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਇਟ ਮਾਈਸੈਲਫ
ਹੁਣ ਕਹਿ ਲੈਣਾ ਤਾਂ ਬੜਾ ਆਸਾਨ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਕਰਨਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
ਇਟਸ ਵੈਰੀ ਈਜ਼ੀ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦਿਸ ਬਟ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ ਟੂ ਡੂ
ਤਨ ਮਨ ਕਾਟ ਕਾਟ ਸਭ ਅਰਪੀ ਅਗਨੀ ਆਪ ਜਲਾਈ ਪੱਕਾ ਫੇਰੀ ਪਾਣੀ ਟੋਆ ਜੋ ਦੇਵੈਂ ਸੁਖਾਈ
ਜਿਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਨੇ ਬਾਣੀ ਲਿਖੀ ਸੀ ਉਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਅੱਜ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਧਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਨ ਹਿੰਦੁਸਤਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਮ ਤੌਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਇਸ ਬਿਜਲੀ ਦੀ ਪੱਖੇ ਦੇ ਥਾਂ ਹੱਥ ਦੇ ਪੱਖੇ ਤੋਂ ਕੰਮ ਲਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਔਰ ਪਾਣੀ ਦੀਆਂ ਗਾਗਰਾਂ ਸਿਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਮੀਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਲਿਆਉਣੀਆਂ ਪੈਂਦੀਆਂ ਸਨ
ਵੈਨ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਰੋਡ ਦਿਸ ਬਾਣੀ ਇਨ ਦੋਜ਼ ਡੇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਇੰਡੀਆ ਦੇਰ ਵਰ ਨਾਟ ਸੋ ਮੈਨੀ ਫੈਸਿਲਿਟੀਜ਼ ਨੋ ਵੈਰੀ ਗੁੱਡ ਮੀਨਸ ਐਂਡ ਕਨਵੀਨੀਅੰਸਿਸ ਇਨਸਟੈਡ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਫੈਨ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਰਨ ਬਾਈ ਇਲੈਕਟ੍ਰੀਸਿਟੀ ਦੇ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਹੈਵ ਦਾ ਫੈਨਸ ਵਿਚ ਪੀਪਲ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਫੈਨ ਔਰ ਆਪਰੇਟ ਮੈਨੂਅਲੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਬ੍ਰਿੰਗ ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਪਿਚਰਸ ਕੈਰਿੰਗ ਔਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਹੈਡ ਫਰੋਮ ਮਾਈਲਸ
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਸੰਗਤ ਨੂੰ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਪੱਖਾ ਕਰਾਂ ਔਰ ਤੇਰੇ ਲੰਗਰ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਗਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਪਾਣੀ ਢੋਣਾ ਪਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਿਰ ਤੇ ਢੋਊਂਗਾ
ਸੋ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਫੈਨ ਫੋਰ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਫੋਰ ਯੋਰ ਸੰਗਤ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਫੋਰ ਦ ਸੰਗਤ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਬ੍ਰਿੰਗ ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਗੈਟ ਬ੍ਰਿੰਗ ਦਾ ਵਾਟਰ ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਬ੍ਰਿੰਗ ਦੈਟ ਕੈਰਿੰਗ ਔਨ ਮਾਈ ਹੈਡ
ਪਾਣੀ
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਮੈਂ ਹਰ ਕਿਸਮ ਦਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਲੰਗਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰਾਂ ਜੋ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਤੇਰੀ ਰੁੱਖਾ ਸੁੱਖਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਦੇ ਦੇਵੀਂ ਮੈਂ ਉਹ ਖਾ ਕੇ ਸ਼ੁਕਰ ਕਰੂੰਗਾ ਮੈਂ ਗਰੀਬ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਤੇਰੇ ਦੁਆਰੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਇਸੇ 'ਚ ਹੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਹੈ ਤੂੰ ਗਰੀਬ ਸਮਝ ਕੇ ਯਤੀਮ ਸਮਝ ਕੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਨਾਲ ਮਿਲਾ ਲੈ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਐਵਰ ਸੇਵਾ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਇਨ ਯੋਰ ਲੰਗਰ ਆਈ ਵਿਲ ਡੂ ਦੈਟ ਗਲੈਡਲੀ ਐਂਡ ਵਾਟ ਐਵਰ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਗਿਵ ਮੀ ਟੂ ਈਟ ਆਈ ਵਿਲ ਈਟ ਦੈਟ ਗਲੈਡਲੀ ਵੈਦਰ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਔਰ ਬੈਡ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਯੋਰ ਡੋਰ ਬਿਕਮਿੰਗ ਵੈਰੀ ਹੰਬਲ ਐਂਡ ਅ ਪੂਅਰ ਵਨ ਐਂਡ ਨਾਉ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਸੇਵ ਮੀ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਲਿਬਰੇਟ ਮੀ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਯੋਰ ਇੰਪੋਰਟੈਂਸ
ਨਾਨਕ ਗਰੀਬ ਟੈ ਪਿਆ ਦੁਆਰ ਹਰ ਮੇਲ ਲੈ ਅੱਕੀ ਕਾੜ ਤਰੀ ਚਰਣ ਤਲੇ ਸਭ ਧਰਤੀ ਫਿਰ ਮਤ ਪਾਈ
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਦਾ ਇਸ਼ਕ ਬਿਆਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਆ ਸਕਦਾ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਸੀ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਦੀਆਂ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਕੱਢ ਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਥੱਲੇ ਵੀ ਰੱਖ ਦੇਵਾਂ ਤਦ ਵੀ ਮੈਂ ਬਦਲਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਚੁਕਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਬਹੁਤ ਥਾਈਂ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਭਾ ਸੁਸਾਇਟੀਆਂ ਜਾਣ ਦਾ ਮੌਕਾ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਵੇਦ ਸ਼ਾਸਤਰ ਪੜ੍ਹ ਕੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਇਹੀ ਸਮਝ ਆਈ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਜੋ ਵੀ ਕੋਈ ਕੁਰਬਾਨੀ ਕੀਤੀ ਜਾਵੇ ਉਹ ਥੋੜ੍ਹੀ ਤੋਂ ਥੋੜ੍ਹੀ ਹੈ
ਦ ਲਵ ਵਿਚ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਹੈਡ ਫੋਰ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕੈਨ ਨਾਟ ਬੀ ਡਿਸਕ੍ਰਾਈਬਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ Here he says that even if I take out my eyes and lay under the feet of the master, still I won't be able to pay back for all what master has done for me. I have gone to many societies, many communities, and I have got the opportunity of reading Vedas, Shastras and all the scriptures. And after reading and going to all these places, I have come to know only one thing, that even if I do the greatest sacrifice for the master, still it is the small one.
ਅੱਖੀ ਕਾੜ ਤਰੀ ਚਰਨ ਤਲੇ ਸਭ ਧਰਤੀ ਫਿਰ ਮਤ ਪਾਈ ਜੇ ਪਾਸ ਬਹਾਲ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਝੈ ਅਰਾਧੀ ਜੇ ਮਾਰ ਕੱਢੈ ਪੀ ਆਈ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਅਗਰ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸੱਦ ਕੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਬਿਠਾ ਲੇ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਉਸ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਹੈ ਅਗਰ ਉਹ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਝਿੜਕੇ तो मैं फिर भी उस गुरु की वडियाई करूँगा, क्योंकि प्रेमी सिख नूं अगर झिड़किया जाए वो सोचता है कि मेरे अंदर कोई नुक्स होएगा, मेरे अंदर कोई खराबी होएगी, क्योंकि गुरु जिहड़ा मैनू ताड़ रहा है। लेकिन जिन्हां दा प्यार नहीं हुंदा, जिहड़े भजन सिमरन नहीं करदे गे, ऐसे मौक्यां च उह लोक फेल हो जांदे है।
Now he says that if the master calls me and makes me sit right next to him, it is his grace, it is his glory. And if he rebukes me, still I will remain content and I will do his devotion. I will not mind that, because I will think that maybe it is because of my fault that he is rebuking me. Those who have the love for the master, when they are rebuked by the master, they do not get upset. They think that it is because of their own fault that the master is rebuking them. But the disciples, those who do not have the love for the master, those who do not have the faith in the master, when they are rebuked and when they have to face such things, they fail in that test.
Main isse khayal nu leke Baba Bishan Das kole janda reha, kyunki oh mainu hamesha hi ਬਾਹਰੀ ਤੌਰ 'ਤੇ ਝਿੜਕਦੇ ਸਨ, ਮਾਰਦੇ ਸਨ। ਮੈਂ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸਾਂ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਨੁਕਸ ਹੈ, ਮੇਰੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ 'ਚ ਕੋਈ ਨੁਕਸ ਹੋਏਗਾ। ਮੈਂ ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਦੀ, ਉਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇਹ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਸੰਤ ਦਿਆਲ ਉਦੋਂ ਹੀ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਆ ਜਦੋਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਨੁਕਸ ਨਾ ਹੋਵੇ। ਮੈਨੂੰ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਬੁਰੇ ਨਾ ਲੱਗਦੇ। ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸੇਵਾ ਪਾ ਦੇਣੀ ਤਾਂ ਬੜੀ ਆਸਾਨ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਅੱਗੋਂ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਇਸ ਕਿਸਮ ਦਾ ਵਿਵਹਾਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ। ਮੈਂ ਕਈ ਦਫ਼ਾ ਵੱਧ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਪੈਸੇ ਵੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਗਿਆ, ਉਦੋਂ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਥੱਪੜ ਵੱਧ ਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮੈਂ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਆਪਦਾ ਇਹੀ ਖਿਆਲ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਬੈਠਦਾ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕੋਈ ਨੁਕਸ ਹੈ। ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਕਿ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਤਾਂ ਜੋ ਸਾਡਾ ਕੋਈ ਕਰੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੇ ਥੱਪੜ ਪੈਂਦੇ ਹੋਣ, ਕੋਈ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਹੀ ਉਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਸਾਬਤ ਦਿਲ ਰਹਿ ਸਕਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਆਈ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਵੈਂਟ ਟੂ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਵਿਦ ਦਿਸ ਥਾਟ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਰੀਜ਼ਨ ਵਾਈ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਬਿਊਕਿੰਗ ਮੀ ਇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਮੇ ਬੀ ਬਿਕੋਸ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸਮ ਫਾਲਟਸ ਇਨ ਮੀ, ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਰੋਂਗ ਵਿਦ ਮਾਈ ਕਰਮਾਸ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਕਮਿੰਗ ਪਲੀਜ਼ਡ ਵਿਦ ਮੀ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਬਿਊਕਿੰਗ ਮੀ ਐਂਡ ਸਕੋਲਡਿੰਗ ਮੀ। ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਨੈਵਰ ਗੈਟ ਅਪਸੈਟ ਐਟ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਨੈਵਰ ਫੀਲ ਬੈਡ ਵੈਨ ਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਵੁੱਡ ਰਿਬਿਊਕ ਮੀ। I have often said that since I used to read the Bani, and it is written in the Bani that saints become pleased only when our karmas are good. So I used to think whenever I would get rebuke and scolding from Baba Bishan Das that maybe that my karmas are not good, that is why I am not pleasing the master and he is rebuking me. I would never feel bad whenever he would rebuke me. Often I have said that it is very easy to donate to the master when he thanks you, but what if he rebukes you and if he slaps you? Many times I would take as much money as possible to Baba Bishan Das, and whenever I would take him more than usual, he would give me one more slap than usual. But still I would never feel bad about it. I would still have this thought that maybe it is my fault or there is something wrong with my karmas that I am not able to please him, and that is why he is not pleased and he is rebuking me.
Man. ਅੱਜ ਵੀ ਉਸ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਦਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਹੋ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਨੁਕਸ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦੇ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਬਾਲ ਉਮਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਰੂਹਾਨੀਅਤ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪੈਰ ਧਰਿਆ ਸੀਗਾ। ਅਗਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਇਹ ਸਖਤੀ ਨਾ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ। ਇਹ ਅੱਜ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਹੀ ਦਇਆ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਨੀਂਹ ਮਜ਼ਬੂਤ ਡਾਲੀ ਤਾਂ ਜਦ ਪਰਮ ਪਿਤਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਮੇਰੇ ਪਾਸ ਆਇਆ, ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਸਕਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਸਕਿਆ।
ਈਵਨ ਨਾਓ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਵੈਰੀ ਗ੍ਰੇਟਫੁਲ ਟੂ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਫੋਰ ਆਲ ਵਟ ਹੀ ਡਿਡ ਫੋਰ ਮੀ, ਬਿਕੋਸ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਸਟੈਪਡ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਪਾਥ ਆਫ ਦ ਸਪਿਰਚੁਅਲਿਟੀ ਇਨ ਮਾਈ ਯੰਗ ਏਜ, ਐਂਡ ਇਟ ਵਾਸ ਪੋਸੀਬਲ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਹੀ ਹੈਡ ਨਾਟ ਬੀਨ ਸਟ੍ਰਿਕਟ ਵਿਦ ਮੀ, ਇਫ ਹੀ ਹੈਡ ਨਾਟ ਰਿਬਿਊਕਡ ਮੀ ਲਾਈਕ ਹੀ ਡਿਡ, ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਹੈਵ ਟੇਕਨ ਮਾਈ ਥੋਟਸ ਟੂ ਸਮ ਅਦਰ ਪਲੇਸ, ਐਂਡ ਬਿਕੋਸ ਹੀ ਪੁੱਟ ਦ ਫਾਊਂਡੇਸ਼ਨ, ਹੀ ਮੇਡ ਦ ਫਾਊਂਡੇਸ਼ਨ ਵੈਰੀ ਸਟਰੋਂਗ, ਓਨਲੀ ਬਿਕੋਸ ਆਫ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ I met Master Kripal, I was able to understand and appreciate his love. So still I am grateful.
Ramdas kehnde hai ki main agar kole bithayega main taan bhi teri upma karni hai, agar maar ke passe mainu bitha denga main phir kehda kise nu hor ja ke rab ya guru bana lena hai.
So your Guru Ramdas ji said that if you will make me sit next to you, I will sing your glory, but if you will rebuke me and send me away, I am not going to go to somebody else and accept him as the master or god, I will still sing your glory.
I have written the letters, and I am sending them to Sawan. O beloved, do not delay. please come at once. O resident of Anami, come to my country. This is the Bhajan Lekha Chitya Sawananu on page 251. The month of Sawan has come, and the friends have erected the swings. Your remembrance is bothering me. Oh, my beloved, come home. Do not delay. Every day I am hoping for you. I am waiting for you. Even in the orchards, the mangoes have ripened. This is very joyous weather. Oh, my beloved, bring the happiness. Do not delay. When in the sky the clouds are full of rain, and when the cuckoo birds sing the song, the friends are swinging on the peepal tree. Oh, beloved, you also come. Give me a swing. Do not delay. Today from the sky it is raining, but my beloved one is far away from me. Again the spring has come. Oh, my beloved, you also come. Do not delay. My anklet is singing. May someone come and unlock the mysteries of my heart. Oh, beloved, listen to the melodious song of the anklet of Ajib. Do not delay. I have written the letters and I am sending them to Sawan. Oh, beloved, do not delay. Please come at once. Oh, resident of Anami, come to my country. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 251.
Likh chithiya, लिख चिट्ठिया सावन नू पावा देर न लायड़िया अनामी देश वसेंदे अवतनी आयड़िया लिख चिट्ठिया लिख चिट्ठिया सावन नू पावा देर न लायड़िया अनामी देश वसेंदे अवतनी आयड़िया आज सौन महीने आए वे सखिया ने पींगे पाए वे आज सौन महीने आए वे सखिया ने पींगे पाए वे मैनू तेरी याद सतावे तू कर आयड़िया वे देर न लायड़िया लिख चिट्ठिया सावन नू पावा देर न लायड़िया अनामी देश वसेंदे अवतनी आयड़िया मैं रोज उड़ीकां रखियां वे बागां विच अंबियां पकियां वे मैं रोज उड़ीकां रखियां वे बागां विच अंबियां पकियां वे अज मौसम रंग रंगीले खुशी ले आयड़िया वे देर न लाड़िया लिख चिट्ठियां सावण नू पावा देर न लाड़िया अनामी देश वसेंदे अवतनी आयड़िया जदों बदल रिम जिम लाए वे ਉਦੋਂ ਗੀਤ ਕੋਇਲ ਨੇ ਗਾਏ ਵੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਬਦਲ ਰਿਮ ਜਿਮ ਲਾਏ ਵੇ ਉਦੋਂ ਗੀਤ ਕੋਇਲ ਨੇ ਗਾਏ ਵੇ ਪਿਪਲੀ ਪੀਂਗਾ ਪਾਇਆ ਆਣ ਚੁਟਾਇੜਿਆ ਵੇ ਦੇਰ ਨ ਲਾਇੜਿਆ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਸਾਵਣ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਵਾਂ ਦੇਰ ਨ ਲਾੜਿਆ ਅਨਾਮੀ ਦੇਸ਼ ਵਸੇਂਦੇ ਅਵਤਨੀ ਆਇੜਿਆ ਅਜੇ ਅੰਬਰ ਬਰਸੇ ਪਾਣੀ ਵੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਦੂਰ ਵਸੇ ਦਾ ਹਾਣੀ ਵੇ ਅਜੇ ਅੰਬਰ ਵਰਸੇ ਪਾਣੀ ਵੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਦੂਰ ਵਸੇ ਦਾ ਹਾਣੀ ਵੇ ਅੱਜ ਫੇਰ ਬਹਾਰ ਆਇਆ ਤੂੰ ਵੀ ਆਇੜਿਆ ਨਾ ਦੇਰ ਨਾ ਲਾਇੜਿਆ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਸਾਵਣ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਵਾਂ ਦੇਰ ਨਾ ਲਾਇੜਿਆ ਅਨਾਮੀ ਦੇਸ਼ ਵਸੇਂਦੇ ਵਤਨੀ ਆਇੜਿਆ ਮੇਰੀ ਚਾਂਜਰ ਛਣ ਛਣ ਬੋਲੇ ਵੇ ਕੋਈ ਭੇਦ ਦਿਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਖੋਲੇ ਵੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਚਾਂਜਰ ਛਣ ਛਣ ਬੋਲੇ ਵੇ ਕੋਈ ਭੇਦ ਦਿਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਖੋਲੇ ਵੇ ਅਜਾਇਬ ਦੀ ਚਾਂਜਰ ਦਾ ਛਣ ਕਾਟਾ ਸੁਣਦਾ ਜਾਇੜਿਆ ਵੇ ਦੇਰ ਨ ਲਾਇੜਿਆ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਲਿਖ ਚਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਸਾਵਣ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਵਾਂ ਦੇਰ ਨ ਲਾੜਿਆ ਅਨਾਮੀ ਦੇਸ਼ ਵਸੇਂਦੇ ਅਵਤਨੀ ਆਇੜਿਆ
I have written the letters, and I am sending them to Sawan. Oh, beloved, do not delay. Please come at once. Oh, resident of Anami, come to my country. May God bless us all.